In Judges chapter number 2, if you can stand with me, please, it not be a hurt to you, please do so. We'll begin reading in verse number 6 of Judges chapter number 2. And the Bible said, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." I want you to pay attention to that verse, please. The Bible said that all the days that Joshua lived, the people served the Lord. And then in verse 8, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Now look this way just a second. Joshua lived to be 110. And Joshua died a natural death. Moses lived to be 120. And Moses died a supernatural death. And the Bible said that as long as Joshua was living, the people served the Lord. But read on. And the Bible said, "And they buried him in the border of the inheritance in Timnath, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaashes. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam." And the Bible said, "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth." Did you see what we just read? That the people served the Lord all the days that Joshua was living. But then after Joshua was dead, there arose another generation who didn't know the Lord, who didn't serve the Lord, who forsook the Lord and went after other gods. And beloved, I fear today that the next generation, the generation that is to come, if you and I don't do something now, that next generation is going to be just like the nation of Israel. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, we need thy help. I realize today, Lord, that I can do nothing in this old fleshly body. It is full of corruption. There is no good thing that dwelleth within me. And Father, I plead with you today. May the Holy Ghost of God breathe upon this place. Lord, I pray that you'd move in and out these pews up and down the aisles and come and just visit with us today. Lord God, I pray that you'd shake us all the way down to our bootstraps. Father, may we have a holy hush today, recognizing that we need to do something to change the things that are going on. And I pray this in our blessed Savior's name. We'll give you the credit, the honor, the glory for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open, please, into the book of Joshua, or Judges, excuse me. Now the Bible said then, verse number 7, all the days of Joshua were 110 years old. And all those days the people of Israel served the Lord. They served God when Joshua was living. But as soon as Joshua was dead, the Bible said they served Balaam. They turned and served a false god. How can one generation lose God? How can one generation turn from serving the Lord God here, who had brought them through the Egyptian bondage and delivered them by the blood and crossed through the Red Sea and provided them manna in the wilderness and food and water to drink. How could they turn their back on such a God? My friend, I want to remind you that we as people today, I am thankful that was born in the generation I was born in. I'm thankful to God that I was privileged and have been privileged to hear some of the best preachers that ever walked in shoe leather. I'm glad to tell you today that I heard a man like John R. Rice and Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson and Dr. Lee Robertson and the list goes on, and Mase Jackson and Billy Kelly and different ones, Bobby Grubbs, and men of God that walked and preached and really brought revival to this country. I ask you today, where are those Elijahs of yesterday? My friend, we look in the Word of God, and by way of introduction, I want you to see three things that here the nation of Israel, they lost some things. And my friend, we're losing some things here in America. I want you to know something, is that don't blame the Democrats, don't blame the Republicans, don't blame Congress, and don't blame the independents. My friend, where we need to get on fire for God is right here in our church. We need to get on this altar this morning and beg and plead with God that God would send revival, that God would have a move across this nation. My friend, listen, that's what we need today. More than a new president, more than a new Congress. We need some men and women and parents and grandparents that'll take a stand for the Lord and lift up the old bloodstained banner and say, listen, we need to get back to the things that God has breathed. Now I tell you, my friend, Israel lost some things. Number one, they lost the fear of God. Here the Bible tells me Israel didn't fear God like her ancestor did. And people today, my friend, have lost the fear of a holy God. I believe God is a God of love. God loved you so much to let Jesus come in this world and die for you. But God is also a consuming fire. And God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And people have lost their fear of God. Comedians now joke about spiritual things. I'm appalled. I'm amazed how many people in the last few weeks have made fun of the quarterback, Tim Tebow, when he would bow down and ask prayer as the game was going on. You have comedians now that mock him. You have people today that make fun of him. Honey, I got news for you. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And my friend, we've lost the fear of God in many of our places, in our churches, in our homes, in our place of business. There was a time when God was reverenced. There was a time when God was feared, but no more. And Israel lost the fear of God. My friend, may I say to you this morning, as we sit here in this auditorium, we'd better be careful how you make fun of the things of God. Amen. You best be careful how you make fun of a preacher, how you make fun of a church, how you make fun of the things of God. God does not take those things lightly. Number two, not only did they lose the fear of God, but my friend, they lost some precious convictions they once had. You read in the Word of God, Daniel was a man that had some convictions. The Bible said when the decree was signed that you could not pray, Daniel went, opened his windows up, and still prayed to God. Men like Elijah had some convictions. Paul had some convictions. My friend, today it's hard oftentimes to tell the difference between the Christian and the world today. Oh, they lost some of their convictions. But third of all, they lost the power of God. Here, my friend, I read in the Bible, and those, many of them today, have lost the power of the Holy Ghost of God in their services. Oh, so many churches are today are confined to a plan, a program. They do everything just by rote memorization. Stand at one time, sing a song, go through the motions, comes and leave and nothing ever happens. My friend, it takes the power of God to accomplish anything in our services. Churches today have tried everything to draw a crowd. Oh, I grew up in that generation back in the 70s when they had something every Sunday, something spectacular, somebody busting some bricks or somebody swallowing a goldfish. But my friend, I've learned something over the years. Is that whatever you get, whatever you use to get people, is what you got to use to keep people. And my friend, we just need the old-fashioned Holy Ghost of God once again. We need God to breathe on our services once again. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." If the Holy Ghost, my friend, showed up in a lot of churches, it'd scare most of them to death. But I want to tell you, He's welcome here in our midst today. But here Israel had lost some things. Now you say, "Preacher, what about Israel?" And I'm going to give you about three things this morning that Israel did that caused her to lose God in one generation. Number one, first of all, she forgot some things. The first thing I see is Israel forgot some things. She forgot her humble beginnings. The Bible said that Abraham left Ur the Chaldees. The Bible said Ur was a city, a huge metropolis. It was a city much like New York City. It had everything you could imagine. But Abraham said, "I'm leaving Ur for a city whose builder and maker is God." They packed up and they moved out. And beloved, Abraham was a man of faith, and he journeyed by faith, looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Israel had an humble beginning. Jesus was not born in some palace. He was not born in some kingdom. He was born in a manger. But my friend, Israel forgot her humble beginnings. In Ezekiel chapter number 16, there is a story told, and the Lord illustrated Israel by being a little girl born to a mother who did not want that little girl. And the Bible said in Ezekiel 16 that this mother gave birth to a little girl, but she didn't want that little girl. And so she walked by a field and took that baby as it was a newborn baby and cast it out into the field, still covered in the birth fluids, still, my friend, just an infant. But the Bible said no one cared for that little baby, but the Lord passed by. Aren't you glad that He passed by one day? I'm glad to tell you, honey, that Jesus passed by. And when He passes by, all things are different. The Bible said in Ezekiel 16 that the day that Jesus passed by and the Lord passed by and He saw that little girl out there, the first thing He did, He picked her up and He washed her. He cleansed her. Thank God for the blood that cleanses from all sin. Amen. It's still the blood. It'll always be the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. He washed her. But then second of all, that little girl, He clothed her. He put her some garments on her naked body. I'm glad to tell you today, thank God I've been robed in the righteousness of Jesus, washed in His blood. I stand now justified in His sight, because not what I've done, but because of what He's done for me. But third of all, this little girl, the Bible said He anointed her with oil. That's a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. Aren't you glad that when the Holy Ghost moves in, He gives you something? He gives you a desire to serve God. He'll give you something, my friend, that'll keep you going in the darkest of midnight. Thank God for the Holy Ghost of the Lord. Then He decked her out with some jewels. He arrayed her in fine jewels. Here this baby was. Nobody cared for her. The Lord passed by. He washed her. He clothed her. He anointed her with oil. He put jewels on her. But then you read in Ezekiel 16. When she grew up, she forgot about that. She turned her back on that. When this little girl got bigger, she forgot what God had done for her. And beloved, she forgot that her help always comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. Our help doesn't come from Washington. Our help doesn't come from Congress. Our help doesn't come from Raleigh. Thank God, our help cometh from the Lord. And it's time you and I, as God's people, get back to the Word of God and believe the Word of God and stand on the Word of God and read the Word of God and stand in the evil day we're facing. If we don't, the next generation will not know of the things of God. She forgot that her hope was in God's covenant. Here, Israel, she forgot her humble beginning. She forgot, my friend, her help comes from the Lord. And she forgot her hope was in God's covenant. God made her a promise. God made Israel a promise. And my friend, I got news for you. Let this old world go the way of the devil. The Bible said, my word standeth forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And we need to preserve the inspired, inerrant word of the living God. You're looking at a fellow who still believes in the old-fashioned King James Version of the Bible. Amen. Oh, you've got everything under the sun today. You've got NLT, the ESV, and XYZ, and everything. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. You read some of those other versions, and I don't have time to go into it this morning, but they leave out certain key doctrinal subjects. And my friend, they leave out certain key points. I believe that God has used this old 1611 to preserve His precious Word down through the ages, and it's still working today. But if you and I don't do something, this next generation won't know anything about the precious Word of God. Second of all, not only, my friend, she forgot some things, but second of all, get this down, she tried to change some things. What did Israel do that caused her to lose God in one generation? She tried to change some things. First of all, she tried to change her source of supply. You see, my friend, in that time here that we're talking about, up until this time, Israel was dependent upon God for her daily resources. Every morning out in the wilderness, they got up and they walked out and there was a loaf of bread laying there. When they got up, God had provided quail for them. They didn't have to chase them down. God provided water out of the rock. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years, God took care of them. But wait a minute. Now that they're coming into the Canaan land, they forgot all that. Now that they're in Canaan, now they can build their own houses. Now they can get their own food. Now they can have their own money. And they forgot the past blessings of the Lord. You got your Bible there. Turn over just a minute, please, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. If you don't want to turn, write it down. Read it this afternoon. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And God provided a warning to them. He said, I know what's going to happen. I know that the tendency of what you're going to have is that when you come into the land of milk and honey, when you come into that promised land, be careful that you don't forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out of Egypt. Listen to what Deuteronomy 6 verse 10 says, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God had brought thee into a land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all goods, good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Does that sound like America? You read the history of this great country, those pilgrim forefathers that set foot in 1620 in Plymouth, Massachusetts, when they set foot, their total dependence was on God. My friend, listen, so many of them died, but they came here not seeking gold like the Spanish. They came here seeking God. Our country was founded on godly principles. Our country was founded with the fear of God. In God we do trust. In the halls of Congress, our nation is a nation founded by men that knew what it was to pray and lead prayer before Congress and the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. We used to have presidents that were unashamedly stand up for the cause of Christ. Not today. Not today. On the news recently, I wrote it down. Forsyth County has been fighting a battle for 3-4 years now. Because at a commissioner meeting, at a council meeting, they had a fellow to stand and pray. And you know what he prayed? He used the name of Jesus. Oh. And because of that, there was a couple sitting in that meeting in 2007 that took issue with that, and they sued the county of Forsyth County, and they tried to get it to go all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled, we don't want to hear this. It's out of our hands. My friend, we have forgot our help coming from the Lord. God help any country. God help any people. God help any church. When they forget that our help comes from the Lord. It's not found anywhere else. It's not found, honey, in any other organization. It's found in God alone. God help us. If you and I don't do something now, these little children will not know about it, next generation. You see, she tried to change her way of living. Israel looked around. When she got over here in the promised land, and she saw all these other countries, and they had a king. And Israel said, we want a king. God said, you don't need a king. You got me. And bless God, listen, as long as you got God, that's all you need. But Israel said, no, we want a king. And they said, we want a king. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you a king. They got a king. And then once they got a king, Israel said, we don't want no king. God said, I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. Beloved, I want to tell you something. She tried to change her way of living. Oh, there's nothing more rewarding than believing God and trusting God and live by faith and step out on nothing and see God work and see God bless. You agree with that? Say amen. We got everything we need when we got saved. Amen? Now, I didn't say you got everything that you want. We got everything we needed. Amen? Psalm 34:10 says, they that seek the Lord shall not want of any good thing. And I want to tell you something. You put God first in your home and first in your life. And God said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. My God will supply all your need. But we got to get back there. Third of all, what else about Israel? Of all the things that she let go down the drain, the things that she let go down the drain. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? She let her pilgrim identity go down the drain. You see, beloved, they wanted here in the book of Judges, they wanted to build a house and settle down. They said, hey, things are pretty good, isn't it? And we got a pretty good income, don't we? And we're just going to build us a nice 3,000-4,000 square foot house and settle down a little bit. Say amen right there. Amen, preacher. You see, she lost her pilgrim identity. What do you mean by that, preacher? We are a heavenly people. This world is not our home. Oh, we're only a passing through. Thy treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels, they beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I got news for you. This world is going to burn up one of these days and all the things in it. Oh, listen, children of God, we've got to do something now. Love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. They forgot about they were strangers and pilgrims. They forgot that they were on a journey. You see, they got to the point they drove their tent stakes down too deep. They anchored themselves down too deep. And they got attached to the things of this world. And honey, our problem today is so many Christians have gotten attached to the things of this world and they don't want to let go. Now y'all help me out. I don't have to. Look, I've led the choir. I've led the singing. I've sung a special. Try and pray. Y'all can help me say amen. Amen. Thank you. I look back at old Abraham. What does the Bible say about Abraham? He was a man of faith. And the Bible said, by faith he left Ur of the Chaldees, had everything that he could imagine in Ur of the Chaldees. I mean, honey, they had restaurants on every corner if they wanted it. They had shops on every corner. They had everything they needed in Ur of the Chaldees. Didn't need a thing. They could walk down the street and get whatever they needed. They didn't have to go out and kill anything. It was there. They didn't have to go out and hunt for something. It was there. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur. You're a stranger and a pilgrim. And I want you to head out to a country. I want you to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I believe this, my friend, every night. Oh, Sarah, as they journeyed out through the wilderness and they go across a mountain and down in a valley and up the slopes and the wind would be blowing and the rain would be beating and perhaps through the snow and the cold and the heat. And all of a sudden, Abraham would say to Sarah, honey, get a good night's rest tonight. Because tomorrow, just over that hill, is that city. He always looked for it, but he never found it. Not down here, but over yonder. And my friend, you know what our problem is today? We have gotten anchored down so deep in the things of this world, the cares of this life, the pleasures of this life. It has choked the Word of God out. It has become unfruitful. Hey, I remember when there was a time when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, we'd have bus visitation on Saturday morning and we'd have a crowd of men to show up and they'd pray and they'd go out and visit and pass out tracts and get little boys and girls to ride the church bus to come in and hear the Word of God get saved. Where are they today? Where are they today? The next generation. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm 56 years old. I know I don't look it. When Laura Aulis was here the other week, I sit down where Rodney sit down. She come up and sit down behind me. I thought she was paying me a compliment. She said, you remind me of my daddy. I was thinking maybe brother, but no, daddy. She said, you comb your hair like that. I said, my friend, listen, what am I saying is this. Think about it. I told this young fella the other day, how old are you now? You're 19. He's 19. I came here. This year will be 9 years. When I came here, Josh was standing up here singing. Brandy, how old are you? Almost 20. Brandy stood up here singing. You see my point? They're adults now. They can vote now. 9 years ago, they were children. Now they're grown. Those little kids was up here a few minutes ago. 10 years from now. 10 years from now. If Jesus doesn't come, 10 years from now, what will they have? Parents, what will they have? Grandparents, what will they have? Will they have an old-fashioned Bible-believing church they can come to and where sinners can get saved and hear the Word of God? We've got to do something now. Israel lost God in one generation. Why did she lose? Because her pilgrim identity, number two, she lost God because of her pioneer spirit. Her pioneer spirit never gets satisfied with what God has done for you. Never get satisfied what God has blessed you with. Never get satisfied with what has you done in the past. Oh, we like to live in the past, don't we? Oh, many folks today live in the past. They'll say this. Hey, do you remember when? Hey, do you remember when we used to... You remember when this church was full? Do you remember when... Do you remember the past blessings that God... Do you remember that when somebody got saved? Do you remember, hey, we need to live not on the past, but we need to live today, my friend, because, listen, we may not have a tomorrow. Oh, we got to preserve the things of God. Build upon it. Caleb said at 85, I like his spirit. Oh, Caleb here... At 85, he'd been fighting the giants. He'd been fighting the Amalekites. He'd been fighting the Hittites for 40 years. And he said, hey, I'm 85. I want that mountain that God has promised me. Well, what are you going to do with it, Caleb? You're 85 years old. It's time for the rocking chair, ain't it? He said, not for me. Not for me. And bless your heart. There's no time for a Christian to let up. There's no time for a Christian to back up. There's no time for a Christian to sit down. It's time to stand up and move out. Amen. Israel lost some things. Then last of all, what else did she lose, preacher? Let me give this to you and I'll be done. She lost the power of God. My friend, if we as a church ever lose our vision, let me ask you something. Why does God want us here? If heaven is so great, isn't it? Say amen. And this world is so wicked. And if God loves us so much, why? Then when we got saved, why didn't God just go ahead and take us straight on to heaven? Because he's got somebody for you and for me to tell that Jesus died for them. Amen. God's leaving you here, ma'am, for a reason. Sir, God's leaving you here for a reason. Not to make money. God gives you money so you can take care of your necessities. Give to the things of God. But I tell you what, honey, I would not want to stand before my Lord and he comes back in the clouds and have a bunch of money laid up in a bank somewhere for the Antichrist to get a hold of. Say amen. Amen. I'd rather live on a shoestring and trust God day by day and have money tucked away that could be used for God's people and God's servants and spread the gospel. Oh, God help us. We need a vision. When a church loses its vision, it dries up on the vine. Oh, people say we're holding our own. No, you're going backwards if you're holding your own. The Bible said where there is no vision, the people perish. Oh, we've got to have a vision today. When there are no more hills to climb, when there are no more mountains to climb, you've lost your pioneer spirit. And then Israel lost her power of God. No supernatural power. My friend, listen, here Israel lost the power of God. And what did they do? Go back here to Judges. They turned from serving the Lord their God into serving Balaam and Ashtaroth. They took their little babies and instead of raising them up in the nurture and admonition of God, they take them out to the city dump and cast them into the fire and burn them up because they're worshiping the god Molech. You say, oh, that's terrible. Yes, sir, it's terrible. But unless you and me, we do something, we're sacrificing our children, our grandchildren. Well, preacher, you know, let them fend for themselves. Oh, we need the power of God. The devil cannot stop a church with the power of God. The devil can't stop a Christian with the power of God. I want to close with this, and everybody's got a Bible. Turn, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22, verse number 30, and I'm going to end with this. He said, I wish it ended long ago. Ezekiel 22, 30. How many of you found that? Raise your hand. You found that? You raise your hand, please. Would you find it, please, for me? Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Have you got it? Brother Jeffrey, you got it? You find it? Would you read that for me, brother? Ezekiel 22, 30. Listen, everybody, listen. Ezekiel 22, 30. Stop right there for a second. Let me reread that to you. He did a good job. Let me read it to you. The Lord said, I sought for a man, a woman. I sought for a grandparent. I sought for anyone among them that would stand in the hedge. You see, there's a hole. There's a hole. I need to fill the hole. I sought for a man among them that would stand up, make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me, for the land, that I should destroy it not. Read the rest of it, Jeffrey. But I found none. One man. One man. God said, and you go back and read Ezekiel 22 there, and their country was just like America. My friend, we can curse the politicians. We can say how bad things are going. And friend, it is. It's getting worse. But I'll tell you what will make a difference. When some old-fashioned, Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians will stand up even today and say, preacher, I want to stand in the gap for my children. I want to stand in the gap for my grandchildren. I want to stand in the gap for my sister's child. I want to stand in the gap for this church. Preacher, we got to make up the gap. If not, the next generation will never know what we know. I'd like all the little kids, and I'm not going to embarrass the little kids. You sang a while ago, if you're 12 years in age and under, would y'all come up here just a second? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want all of our children to come. That's here this morning. All of you. Even if you didn't sing well, if you're 12 years old and under, come on. Come on. Stand in the gap for them. Would you say, I want my children, my grandkids, to still have what I've enjoyed? I don't want the things of God to be lost like it was in Israel. You bow your heads, please. Joanne, would you come to the piano? Would you play, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Thank you, children. Just stand here a minute. Mamas and daddies, grandparents, grandmas, your kids may not be here today. But would you stand in the gap? Would you stand in the gap for your daughter? Would you stand in the gap for your son? Would you stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and say, devil, you're not having them. They're not going to serve the false gods. They're not going to serve the gods of money and silver. They're not going to serve the gods of this world. They're not going to serve the devil. I'm going to stand in the gap. God spoke to your heart, and you say, oh, preacher, I need to do it for my kids, my grandkids, my loved ones. I need to do it.
I want to get up out of my place, and I just want to come. I'm going to form a hedge around about this place, and I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm not going to let the next generation fail because of me. Right now, would you? Would you? Would you stand in the gap? Would you? Amen. 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 If you can get on the altar, get on the altar. If you can't, stand up beside him on the pew. Amen. Amen. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle. God help us. Oh, God help us. Our help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. May we never forget our humble beginnings. May we never forget how God breathed this church into existence, and the blood, the sweat, and the tears that went into it. How many of you talk about coming in and repairing the floor, taking out all the old shelves, and this was an auction house, and all the pain and suffering and time that went into trying to fashion something for God. We need some more today. We'll say, not on my watch. Devil, not on my watch. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to preserve our heritage, what God has done, what God has blessed. We're going to move forward with the power of God upon us. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see a church built. We're going to see sinners brought to Christ and the unchurched get in church. And when people walk in that door, they'll know that the presence of God is in this place and the power of God rests here, because there'll be some mamas and daddies at home begging God. Instead of watching television, they'll be on their knees pleading for God and pleading for mercy and pleading that the power of God would rest upon the preacher and the singers and the musicians. Oh, they'll be begging God, save their lost loved ones. Oh, will you do it? Oh, God, today the need is great. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that not a one that has come today would have come because of somebody else, but they came because the Holy Ghost of God touched that heart. And, Lord, they were convicted. And, Lord, today they're saying, Lord, I don't know how many years I got left, but as long as I've got breath in this old body, as long as I can go, Lord, I'm going to put you first. Whatever I got to do, Lord, we've got to do it, for the next generation may not know what we have felt and experienced, what we have been privileged to. Our next generation, our kids, in 10 years from now, there'll be that church, the adults, they'll be having children. Oh, God, may the word of God pierce our hearts today. We pray it in Jesus' name. You stay at this altar as long as you wish. When you finish, you feel like you're done, you can return to your seat. If there's somebody up here that needs prayer, you just lift a hand up and we'll have somebody come by and pray with you. Amen. Amen. Stand in the gap.